You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And this is Book Lovers Cafe. Book Lovers Cafe is a monthly program of author interviews and book reviews with a local perspective. And I'm your host, Chris Wilson. I'm very pleased today to be introducing a new author. Her book is called Being Human, and her name is C. Nielsen Taylor. But today we're going to call her Christine Clare. I'm pretty excited about this because, dear listeners, my name is Christine Clare as well. Christine lives part-time in Sonora and also in Port Townsend. I think she mostly wrote the book in Port Townsend, and she did some of her research right in our Carnegie Library. It's always useful for authors to come and sit upstairs in the Carnegie Room and do a little research. It's a very nice place to write. Well, back to the book. Being Human, I want you to know, was written, I think, with middle graders in mind. But I found as I read it that it was extremely readable, a great moving plot, and wonderful characters that I grew to love. I think it would be an excellent book for a family to read out loud together because it has some gentle lessons, and I think that a lot of people will find what happens in this story very interesting and very topical. So let's meet Christine. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here today. It's not raining today, and we're thinking a lot about climate change these days. And although your book isn't about climate change, it definitely is about the environment and the environment that you're familiar with. Can you tell us a little bit about where the book is set?
The book is set in the Sierra Nevada foothills, east of San Francisco, about 150 miles east of San Francisco in the mountains.
Definitely had that kind of Northern California feel to me. I'm going to ask Christine to read a little bit from the beginning of the book, and so you will get an idea about where the story is going.
Would you like to hear the newspaper article?
Let's just read both of those.
Okay, we can do those together.
Right.
This newspaper article was written because I was looking to do 12 years of backstory in one page. So I based it on a true incident in the year 2000, but have shifted the characters to fit my needs. Starts out with the San Francisco Daily News. Ancient redwood felled, couple dies. Saturday, June 10th, 2000. Scotia, California. Holly Engel, 27, and her partner, Lyle Stone, 30, were killed early yesterday morning when an old-growth redwood was felled by Electric California, Inc. According to Humboldt County Sheriff Bud Barnett, the couple had attempted to save the ancient tree by residing on a 10-by-10-foot platform slung between its branches since Thanksgiving Day, 1998. After several postings in the immediate area and announcements through a bullhorn, the tree, along with several others, were felled at dawn. Workmen said they had no idea the couple was in the tree at the time. "We gave them plenty of warning," William Guest Project foreman told reporters. "We thought they were gone." When informed of the accident, Engel's mother, Deborah Bartell of San Jose, reported her daughter had likely given birth in the past few weeks. She asked a friend for information on home birth several months ago, Bartell told reporters. "I crocheted a blanket for the baby. It was blue, Holly's favorite color. Her friend told me she would make sure she got it." Officials at the scene said Ms. Engel was not pregnant and no infant was found. Protesters are planning a massive rally on the steps of the Capitol in Sacramento to demand that Governor Gray Davis keep his campaign promise to ban old-growth logging and to launch a thorough investigation into the deaths of Engel and Stone. So that's the way I did some foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. The book starts with a quote from Chief Seattle. "What is man without beasts? If all beasts were gone, men would die from great loneliness of spirit. For whatever happens to the beasts also happens to man. All things are connected. Whatever befalls the earth befalls the children of the earth." August 31st, 2012. They entered the cavern in order of tradition, feline first, followed by bear, fowl, and deer. Raccoon and coyote flanked the opening. The council had been summoned for an emergency meeting. After years of successful transitions, they had been confident that today would signal the completion of the first phase of the plan. And yet the air was filled with sober speculation on what might have gone wrong. In the beginning, the boy had been delivered to Black Oak Forest as a swaddled infant dangling from Condor's powerful beak. Today he had come full circle, returning to the same forest on the cusp of manhood. He was healthy, impeccably skilled in the way of many creatures, and, after 12 times round the seasons, ready for reintroduction to his own species.
That was wonderful, and it's so many images from that simple reading of two paragraphs and the newspaper article. Was it the story of Julia Butterfly Hill in the tree that inspired you to start writing this story?
Actually, no. I was very interested in writing a story about animals raising a child and then introducing that child back into the human population as a representative of them. So I was trying to devise a way of how animals would be able to get a child without any suspicion, without a child being missing. I also knew about condors being raised in captivity at the San Diego Zoo and then reintroduced into their native environs. So I realized that if a child was snatched from a tree, then that's a way to get that child to the animals. And then I remember Julia Butterfly Hill sitting in a redwood tree in California and saving the redwood, thinking she'd be up there for 2 weeks. She was up there for 2 years.
Right, 2 years.
So I went to the Port Townsend Library and started researching Julia Butterfly Hill. And then I was able to do 12 years of backstory, you know, where did this kid come from, with one newspaper article that I, in place of Julia Butterfly Hill, I put a couple that had a baby in the tree. The tree was felled, and that's how it worked.
And so the story began with you really thinking about animals, specifically the condor, because you're from that area of California, were interested in the condors at that time and other animals that live in that environment. Some of your other characters, I'm wondering if they are inspired by real people, especially Dan Fisk. He's a naturalist, and he's also the caretaker of a wonderful camp. And how did you think about Dan and the camp? Where did those ideas come from?
I know about a camp similar to John Muir Environmental Camp, which is where they reintroduce this boy.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband and I have a wonderful friend whose name is Dan, who we always call Ranger Dan, mm-hmm. because he actually has been a ranger for the Forest Service. We call him Ranger Dan because he worked on Alcatraz for years and just a wonderful person. So, you know, the character is loosely based on our friend
that's
Dan.
Great. That's
yeah,
great.
That's really
your
fun.
Characters come across as real people. And so there's Sonia Henderson, who's also involved with the Condor Project.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
Yes, and Sonia Henderson is based on a real person named Sophie Osborne. And when I had decided I was going to use the condor, I feel like I need to say this because mm-hmm. they'll pick it up. There are no condors in the Sierra Nevada Mountains. The condors are on the coast. They were reintroduced in Los Padres National Forest. Mm-hmm. Sophie Osborne worked with the condors that were reintroduced at the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to learn as much as I could about condors. So I purchased Sophie Osborne's book, Condors in Canyon Country, and read that book, and then was able to contact Sophie Osborne. So that was just really fun because I have a little bit of an email communication with her. So I based the character Sonia Henderson on Sophie Osborne, and the first image you get in the book of Sonia Henderson is actually based on me looking at a picture of Sophie Osborne and describing it. So it was quite fun, you know, to bring that character in.
Mm-hmm. So I love those two characters. And there's also a grandmother, a Native American. There's also a very interesting adolescent named Alex Perry, who is a congressman's son. And there is also Sonia's daughter, Fawn. And we're not going to talk that much about those characters because it would tell you more about the story. But equally likable and amazing and somewhat fantastic things happen between all of these people. So this is a story that has environmental message somewhat, but it is just the beginning. So let's talk now about how you came to start to write and what your interests are and how did you become a writer?
You know, when I had the empty nest syndrome, my youngest had gone overseas to be in an AFS program in France, and all of a sudden my husband was working back east and I was alone in a house in the country, and I actually was a massage therapist and I had a large practice. I was very busy, but I was also alone a lot, and I had given a gift certificate as a fundraiser to the local college, and one of the professors, you know, got that gift certificate, won that gift certificate. And he came from massage, and I had just listened to Joni Mitchell singing a Yeats poem, Slouching Towards Bethlehem. Mm. Oh my gosh, it's such a powerful piece. So I say to this fellow, as I'm working on his feet, who's Yeats? And he said, oh, I really think you need to come take my English class. And I went to take his creative writing class in English, and then I was just rolling. I loved it so much. I loved writing because it was like having sort of structured company in my own head. You know,
that's phrased very well. And I think a lot of our listeners will be inspired to know that, you know, you successfully finished this novel and, you know, you started writing late in life. It was just, this came to you. So that's really exciting news and good for you. So are there other things that you've written or that you're interested in?
You know, I'm very interested in playwriting. And the first successful thing I did was write a play called Unforgettable. I wrote it during the winter in Port Townsend in a house that we had rented in 2006 when we first started, just being charmed by Port Townsend and wanting to spend more time here. And it was based on my father's choice to starve himself to death.
Mm-hmm.
He had come to a point where he could see the writing on the wall. He was very strong, and he was afraid that he was going to live longer than he would feel vital. And I wrote a play based on that called Unforgettable and produced it in Murphy's, California. It did very well.
Mm-hmm.
So dialogue was something I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So that was a completely different topic and for a different audience,
right,
than being human.
Right.
Well, being human kind of leaves us hanging. So I'm really curious about if you're starting to work on the rest of the story or what you're working on now. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, my plan is that it will be a trilogy, and I am working on the second one. I started writing on it and got in about 36 pages, and this character appeared, and it just bowled me over. This character became more interesting than I thought she was going to be. And she was an exchange student from Denmark. And I obviously chose that because my roots are Danish and I've been to Denmark. So it was an easy one for me to want to develop. And she's become so powerful in my mind that I'm actually going to go spend a month in Denmark in April and spend time researching animals there. But I think she's a very interesting character, and I'm looking forward to spending more time with her. So bringing in one more very major character.
Okay, so this is an imaginary character that you're going to spend time with in Copenhagen or in Denmark.
Right.
Okay, just to make it clear for the audience.
Oh, it's very imaginary, but yes, as any yes. author, they become really real to right. the person who's writing them.
Right, uh-huh. right. So that's going to be an interesting trip, and it might take this second book in a completely different way. Will it be part of this trilogy, or do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So our young man will be involved.
Oh, very much. And the central character mm-hmm. that started being human will always be the central
right.
character.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because what you're writing about, and you're not very clear about this yet, but there is a plan B. And I think people that talk about climate change talk about, well, what is the plan B if we go above the amount of carbon that's in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are reading about climate change now, and this book is a really great book for people of all ages to find out a little bit about the environment and the animals in particular. You are listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and this is Book Lovers Cafe. I'm your host, Chris Wilson, and today we're talking to C. Nielsen Taylor, Christine Claire Taylor, and about her book, Being Human. She has a great love of nature and animals. There's been a tradition in children's literature about animals that exist and live their lives where there's no people. And so I was wondering if some of what children's books have inspired you, or what you like to read as a child. What kind of children's books are you drawn to?
I'm drawn to children's books with very powerful, authentic characters. Mm-hmm. And so when I was young, actually, I wasn't read to, and books were not part of my life as a young person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really started reading children's books when I was reading to my own children. So I liked the Great Brain series, and I liked Little House on the Prairie. Those were the books that really spoke to me mm-hmm. because the characters seemed very authentic. So recently, too, it was actually after my book was written, I gave it to a friend, and she said, oh, this reminds me of A Wrinkle in Time. And I went and got that, actually, at the PT library and read it.
This is A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also A Wrinkle in Time series. There's more than one book.
Oh, really?
And so they are considered classics of children's literature because they go across a wide age range, and they are interesting for adults as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very well-known book and very well-respected.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
So when I read your book, Being Human, I thought about The Jungle Book by Rudyard Kipling. And a lot of people have only read or only heard of Mowgli through the Disney version, maybe have seen the movie or maybe read the little adaptations of the stories. And so I like to tell the audience that I think that reading the original Jungle Book stories that are, you know, fairly, each chapter is a story on its own. The relationship of Mowgli to the Black Panther Bagheera is very powerful. And also the kind of the contest between Bagheera and Shere Khan, and also the Indian villages that are being burned and also being destroyed, and the animals' reaction to that. There's a whole chapter about a monkey's village that's very fascinating as a group of primates. And the conversation also does not involve humans. It's all between the animals and, of course, their training of Mowgli. So this would be a great read aloud with very rich language from over 100 years ago by Rudyard Kipling. I'd also like to recommend to everyone who hasn't read it, Watership Down by Richard Adams. And this is a book where you will feel like you are a rabbit. You will think you understand rabbits. And also it has an environmental lesson as well. Very good read aloud for an entire family. And last but not least, Mrs. Frisbee and the Rats of NIMH. Kids say NIMH, but it's NIMH, the National Institute of Mental Health, by Robert C. O'Brien. And this is a story with also a very powerful message about domination and control, and the use of animals for scientific research. And I happen to believe that after this particular story was written, people became more aware of what was happening to animals being researched, and there was a movement to stop that. So those are some of the books that I would think about after reading Being Human. And today we've been talking to Christine Claire Nielsen-Taylor about her book, Being Human, and we're looking forward to reading more about these characters and see what happens to them in Plan B.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. You've been listening to Book Lovers Cafe, and my name's Chris Wilson. Today we've been talking to C. Nielsen-Taylor about her book, Being Human. Please join me next time to talk more about books and authors. And I'd like to thank Nora Petrich today, who's our manager, and all the volunteers and supporters that make this wonderful radio station possible. Thanks, Larry, for doing the editing and the programming scheduling. And thanks, Mike, for always being around to help me when I need help.